Are you sitting comfortably? Well, then I shall begin. So, Calabra Online. We talked about this, I think, last year, and I tried to persuade you that Calabra Online, you know, built on this awesome LibreOffice technology, you know, all of that richness, security, interoperability, all of those good collaborative features, you know, made it just ideal to integrate with your content management system or, you know, your document management flow, and to allow people then to collaborate around documents. And so I went on at length, and I showed you how to integrate it, and you can go back and, you know, FOSDEM provides this wonderful depth of wealth of talks and information across many years, so do go and look at that. I'm not going to talk about that this time. I'm going to talk a little bit about what's improved and what's changed since then to make it, I guess, more relevant for you. So one of the things we've done is try to make everything easier to integrate with. So we're providing now demo servers all around the world to help people write integrations and test them and get them working with their software easily. So obviously we want to warn people before we do that. So in Nextcloud, you know, it's say you're going to send your document to this other service. And of course, for privacy tools, it's not a great, approach. So we want to make sure people really buy in and agree it's just a demo watermark to make that clear. And that's really easy. You know, you download some JSON. There's a whole load of servers there that you can contact and provide for the user to select one of. And for partners, we would then typically filter that. So, you know, some people want to provide an OwnCloud server, but not a Nextcloud, or, you know, so it's presented in the right places for the services that you're providing. And we provide those all around the world, so you can be sure you've got a demo server near you, which is great. But of course, sometimes people don't have publicly routable IP addresses. So we can't ask them to get the document to give it back to them and share it. So they can connect out, but we can't connect in to get the data. So that's a bit of annoyance. So of course you can install the thing on premise locally yourself, obviously, Docker images, packages, the works, the absolute works. But we've done a whole load of work to try and make this even easier, particularly integrating with these three-tier web products like Nextcloud or OwnCloud and actually many others. Where we really can't persist, you know, the life cycle of PHP is, you know, for one request. And, you know, it's timed out and killed. And so we've produced through a series of quite interesting tweaks, and I have another talk at FOSDEM about them if you're curious about that, a thing that is actually built in and works well. Please do upgrade quickly. But this essentially uses a keep alive HTTPS socket. So instead of having to reconnect over HTTPS every time, you know, all modern web servers support keep alive, it's just much, much more efficient. And doesn't, you know, involve two extra round trips just to set up your SSL, TLS stuff. And so that means then actually we can treat an HTTPS keep alive socket much like a web socket and get rather similar latency and performance out of that. And it's kind of cool. You can see the exponential drop off we use here when things aren't happening. But that works really well, and surprisingly so. I guess for other kinds of solution, if you're in Java, you know, it can also pay perhaps to have a little proxying WebSocket implementation that would go to a backend on your device. So that's an interesting way of getting the thing out, bundling it in a way that a user can just download a PHP thing with one click in their PHP app and have something working, which can be useful for that mass market consumer home user environment, with several caveats around that. Of course, it's not suitable for large-scale enterprise use, and it's not suitable really for, you know, aggressive other users to come and use alongside you. You know, some of the containment bits are gone. Anyhow, we've also shipped Calabra Online 6.4.0, which has a whole load of new things. Obviously, numbers, you know, numbers have changed. So there's a bit of a version leap there. You can see OpenSUSE have that sort of thing, just to make it more clear where it's coming from. And one of the big things there is providing its new notebook bar choice. So, I mean, many people like menus and toolbars. And, you know, if you look at what Google provide, obviously their user experience is very much from that stable. But also we want to provide this, what we call a notebook bar, which perhaps is more familiar to a different set of people. So, you know, maybe, you know, more contextual tabbed user experience there. Of course, we have the sidebar as well, which provides, you know, also a very rich experience in many ways. So, you know, lots of different ways for people to access tools in a way that's most familiar to them. And, you know, and to collapse it away if you don't want it. Just click again on your home tab And you'll end up with just this little menu, so you've got as much space as you like to work with your documents in your browser. So yes, classic mode is retained. It's configurable and it's default in some places. You can configure the default for all of your users there. We're currently working, one of one are working on contributing some changes to that, so you can put a post message through the frame. Actually, I think we have that already. Yeah, for making it possible to configure that at runtime in the UI defaults. But more of that later. Freeze rows are very useful. Therefore, spreadsheets are very much better. PDF search, so really nice to be able to not only load PDFs securely, watermarked, search through them, but also annotate them and collaborate around those annotations. So that's often used. Improved smart art graphics and so on. And actually, yeah, the PDF annotation stuff is often used, I think, for customers who want to provide a document that's, you know, they want to show to people, but they don't really want them to be able to edit it or fiddle with it or, you know, or even copy it, you know, so we can turn off copy and download and that sort of thing. And so it's quite a nice, highly secure mode there. We call it Secure View, where it'll watermark it as well. But of course, still allow you to comment on it and interact with that and provide feedback maybe from the salespeople to research and development or so on. So having got 6.4 out in November, then we've got lots of rapid-fire releases, lots of little features here. So, you know, being able to edit your chart titles and subtitles in the sidebar then, and of course on mobile phones too, because we take the sidebar here and we wrap that functionality to use in the palette menu on your mobile phone. It's kind of cool. Improved sheet movement and calc spreadsheets and some of those more powerful renaming, copying, moving around functionality. Recently, we shipped pivot table support, which is kind of cool. So you can, you know, select your data. We could always calculate pivots and show you the results, and I believe refresh them. So if you change the input data, you could refresh the existing pivot. But being able to customize and tweak the pivot table layout and make sure it's, you know, exactly what you want, and create new ones and so on, is of course, you know, just very, very much more powerful for people. Defining names. Managing those, so it makes things much easier. And of course, print ranges and getting the scope of those things right. We've always been able to calculate with those and load and save them, but nice again to be able to do that. And Calc has also had a whole load of statistical tools brought to it recently. So just very, very large number of analysis and, you know, helpful tools there. K-variance, correlation, moving average, smoothing, lots of these things that people want to do. And yeah, there you can see the statistics tab. Of course, there's a whole load of things you can't see. So, you know, 20% faster in terms of CPU time reduction and, you know, actually quicker getting tiles to people, rendering time, better interactive editing of cells, so improved jails creation. We stuff all documents in jails to stop the information leaking to other people. Better watermarking performance, better performance in press, pre-caching slides as you flip around. So it's rendering either side of where you're presenting, on-demand thumbnail fetching, PDF rendering, lots and lots of things. Huge investment in Cypress automated test coverage. So many, many, many more automated tests just huge scads of functionality that we ship, just improving, you know, the quality of every test that you write. Helping to debug cluster problems that some of our users suffer when they don't quite understand, and just catching and detecting that something is wrong with the cluster and showing what's going on there. Lots of mobile things. So, you know, we've been working to get mobile in your pocket. I think I showed some of that stuff last year. But there's a whole load of new things there. So bringing the notebook bar to tablets and getting the sidebar out of the way, because, well, I think that really helps to, you know, just provide more visibility there. So on iOS and Android, start of the dark mode for the shell, at least. The document itself is still waiting. I think this is significantly higher now, approaching a million installs across iOS and Android. A Chromebook version. So obviously there's a lot of interest in education in Collaborate Online. And so, you know, being able to then integrate with, you know, your Chromebook and actually provide a full-feature, rich Office productivity suite on Chrome OS that's you know, works really well natively as that Android application, so you can take your Chromebook offline and walk around and still edit your documents with, you know, just a beautiful, modern, rich editor. You notice this is in the Google Classic menu toolbar mode. So from an integration perspective, we've done a whole load more too to try and make things prettier for people. We have a beautiful style guide now showing, you know, the ultimate in colours and taste and iconography and how everything should be obviously beautiful. But of course, other people want to turn things on and off and tweak that and configure that for their own particular setup. So when you embed us, we have an iframe, and that's a post, and you send, you know, your document credentials through there as is normal. We also then allow various configurations to be pushed through there. So, you know, you can select which kind of menuing or toolbar style you want, you know, and various pieces around the document there. So just enabling and setting various defaults there is just very easy, and you don't need to configure servers or fiddle around. It just, you know, adapts to the environment it's in. And that's interesting because I guess the same Collabor Online instance can then serve multiple different integrations with different preferences. So, you know, your own cloud and your next cloud and your, you know, and can be concurrently serving a Moodle and a, you know, a Mattermost and all of these different pieces and Alfresco, you know, the same server can be embedded in all of those and look different in each case, which is nice. It should appear native. Perhaps more important on that is then the CSS variables for getting these colors right and the theming and just matching what's there, not just with pre-canned CSS, but of course dynamically, because of course many products and integrations have their own theming support. So we need to chain off that and make sure we're getting it right. So just some examples of the things there that, you know, you can change and set to your preferred colors and so on, and trying to adapt to and incorporate all those. And there you can see a couple of different themes there and the impact that can make. Every little helps, you know, just making it seem more like a native, a beautiful part of your tool. That can be very, very helpful. And here's just an example of that, I guess, for Nextcloud. So, you know, the before, and you can see your sidebar, and well, you can't see the status bar, but some of the colors here. And then afterwards, you know, getting with ruler, getting with sidebar, changing the background, highlight colors are looking nicer. And so just looking more like Nextcloud native tool. And so there's more to be done there, but we're getting there. So what's next? Well, our roadmap we publish is really for our partners and customers. But, you know, and we love to get input from them, and we love to, you know, see what customers' pain points are, where the squeaky problem is, a floorboard is, where the rubbing shoe piece is, and mend all of that to make it nice. But all of our code development is done in public, of course, and we now have minutes of our public weekly calls. Do you get involved? That goes in our forum, where you can ask questions. It'd be great to have people there if they're interested, or you have problems, or you want to get help on integrations. And that's all minuted, and we track there the various things, or many of the various things in progress. So some of the bits you'll see there will be a canvas-based rewrite of our front end. So previously it's using a map widget to make that just slicker and crisper and nicer, and having a simpler code and more TypeScript there. So we have a, you know, more typed code. We're also moving away from the Java, from dialogues that are server-side rendered. So we've done that with the notebook bar. We're increasingly doing that with individual dialogues to make sure it's all themable on the client side. So all of that integration works really nicely, and it's slicker and more beautiful and easier to design for. Asynchronous auto-saving, so that auto-saves happen in the background as you're typing or much more. And so that if we have an integration that's throttling or busy or stalled or, you know, doing something, you know, it's gone away to play with re-indexing its database or something, that we don't then block the user's editing. You know, their autosave continues in the background, and we're doing some significant work to help with that. What's next? Well, your integration. Here's a Moodle one. You can see the beauty there of, you know, your essay assignment happening inside your Moodle, and all very smooth flow there, and that working nicely. So another thing that's happened in the last few months is just the relationship between Collabor and LibreOffice has been changing and evolving. You know, there are all this awesome group of people. I mean, there are many more than this, but here are some of the core people who could get to our last conference, I guess our last in-person conference in Almeria. And, you know, there's some great guys there. We don't always agree. But when it comes to online, which is the piece really that Collabor has been the spearhead of, you know, we're really doing all of the heavy lifting and all of the work there. And that's great. You know, 50 million pulls from that. But we really, we've recently moved all of that development, and all of the developers there have moved their work to GitHub and a Collabora Online branded piece of work. Now, of course, this is only really 2% of the whole combination of LibreOffice and Collabora Online is the Collabora Online code. So the vast majority of the work and the, you know, the cool stuff, the interoperability, the core rendering functionality and so on, is still done in LibreOffice and totally shared. But having a clear brand story around driving return to the investment we put in is really important for us. So there's been a long running conflict around this at inside the Document Foundation, and we believe that the best way to end that and make get rid of it is to simply move that piece to collaborative stewardship. And so we've done that, and we're moving the warnings for you, reminders for users, this warnings on limits, so this is no longer there in our development edition. Moving to GitHub gives us access to more developers, and we've seen more developers getting involved and contributing, which is very encouraging. It also gives us an incentive to invest in the community as a positive, wonderful thing that is great to be worked with. So that's cool, and it allows us to, of course, continue to support and work on LibreOffice, realize the lead flow from that. And of course, it's very familiar to everyone that's working in this space. It's hard to think of a vendor-neutral nonprofit that can still preserve that brand building and lead flow through to actually converting people to paying and paying for services and support and making it clear where that goes. So, there's obvious simplicity and elegance to having a very clear flow of users through those projects, obvious place to go to for support and services, a clear credit in the product name, and no complicated structures and agreements and discussions and uncertainty. That just gives a clear future there. So, when it comes to a floss company, the only assets they have really are their cash in the bank and their brand, of course, their staff, and the relationships they have. But return on investment is really important, and marketing is key. So, we're marketing in a different way. Otherwise, the people are the same, the community is the same, and we're doing good stuff both at LibreOffice and at Collabora and in that community. And it's, of course, not just Collabora. There's, Allotropia, I guess, now, and One-on-One and various other people involved with us too, which is cool. And we want to grow a diverse community there. But we really need to get that right around a return on investment and get that working nicely. So here's some of the team, which I only about two-thirds of it now. It's been a while. Making open source rock is our mission, Collabora. Well, there you go. There's a Collabora plug for you. So thank you. Thank you for coming to the talk. Thanks for listening. I hope there's something interesting in there that piqued your interest and that you perhaps would like to know more about. So I'll take questions in a minute. And otherwise, email me. Come and tell me where we're going wrong. Come and tell me where we're going right. I'd love to get your feedback and see how we can improve, make things better, so that Collabora Online becomes just the most perfect thing for your users, for your integration, and to build a business together around. So thank you.